indicator of any society is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Liz and Amina in the studio. Donna will be joining us soon. Not a very happy day.
No. Very scary day.
You wake up and it's like, oh my gosh. And certainly we knew something like this was coming, but here it is. And so not to belabor the point about Russia invading Ukraine, because certainly we've got enough shenanigans going on in our own backyard. But let's talk a little bit about how you're feeling, Amina, because you may even have relatives in that part of the country that that we're not aware of.
Not in Ukraine that I know of, no, but I'm just worried in general for the region, because we're always, I mean, we frequently, even in the U.S., we're like, debating internally, like, will they, won't they, is this going to happen? And then it happens, and we're not prepared. And we saw that with the coup. We saw that with, I don't know, a number of things, like a number of bills. So it starts on a small scale, and then on a large scale, as far as I know, U.S. intelligence has been saying there'll be an invasion for weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was solid information, and then it happened, and a lot of people were saying, like, that's not going to happen, that's not going to happen, and here we are, and we are still, again, unprepared. Sanctions are not strong enough. Nuclear war is being threatened, so...
Right.
You know, like, what is there to do at this point?
Right, and so, and there's a long history of having the intel in advance and not doing anything about it. I know,
right.
Like, in Pearl Harbor, they knew that was coming for quite a while, and just sat on it, and bang, you know...
You know what's worse is, and I can only speak about Florida politics, but there are a number of politicians in Florida that are, like, praising, you know, Putin and everything that's going on. It's weird.
Well,
democracy has taken
The person who recently left the presidential office is, like, Putin's best bud, you know? So I have to figure there's money being exchanged with this invasion. I have to think that Trump and his cronies have cut deals with Putin. They're going to supply X things and fill in the blank as to what X is, because that's the whole thing that runs Trump is money and power. And so Trump is absolutely benefiting from this. I don't know how yet, but I would bet that it is money that he's getting from his buddy Putin. So it's really just disturbing, though, to, you know, have everything else that's going on. And then, too, I wonder, is this a distraction? And if it's a... Because everything is like mind games now.
You know, while we're asking those questions, there are people actually being hurt by this. So to me, that's the wildest part about it. We don't have time to talk about it anymore.
It's here.
And the actions aren't strong enough, clearly. And I personally, like, I don't know what happens beyond this, because once one of these superpowers says we're going to retaliate with nuclear weapons.
Right.
I don't know. Everything I learned in history said, like, this was the moment you never want to see.
Right. Because, yeah, this is, you know, end times pretty much. If you look at the people who have been, you know, pounding the Bible for the last 30 years and saying, no, the end is coming, it's kind of looking like that now. You know, it's almost like people have lost their moral tillers or rudders. What do you call the thing on the bottom of the boat that steers the boat? Rudders? Miss Davis?
I think so. Yeah.
It's like you're pushing your rudder around to steer your boat. So many people have lost their moral rudders. It's to them, it's more about me and mine and taking your rights away or making sure that you don't have rights that I don't agree with. yeah.
And to humanity.
Right.
You don't have humanity if I don't agree that you're actually a human. Like, if you're a trans person, I don't agree that you should be free of a public discourse that dehumanizes you because it puts your life at risk because I don't think your identity is a real thing.
Exactly. And, you know, I will pass legislation to make sure that my children don't hear about gay people and parenting and things like that in the schools.
Yes.
And it's like the narrative that's being spun. Mm-hmm. I keep joking because people put these memes up of these Target dresses that look like Little House on the Prairie. And
those,
I'm like,
I love
they're getting us ready for the end times. They're getting us ready for handmade times.
Apocalyptic Mad Max dresses.
Yeah.
Now, the people, I just want to say this about young people, because I keep hearing people say, and people act as if, like, there's definitely, you know, Toni Morrison says it's a thrill to being young, right? It has its own, like, you know, package of thrills that come with it,
sure.
Right? Life under 35 has its own.
I mean, it's inexperience. Like, once you experience life, you're like, this was not what I thought it was.
Right. And so what's happening is the young people are lining up for the same fears and phobias, right? Because I'm driving this Lyft thing, this social experiment,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. How is that going?
I'm
going
to have to stop because it's interfering with my real work.
Yeah.
But there's so many events, and then there's so many opportunities to just meet all these people from other places. And so this guy was from West Virginia last night, and I started to ask him, so what y'all about to do about Manchin? Like, what y'all going to do with him? You know, I ask people in Maine about Susan Collins.
Yeah. Like, right. When are you getting rid of her?
Yeah. What are you doing personally?
Right. What are you personally doing about this? Right. And he said, my state is one of the poorest states in the union. But as you begin to listen to them, they're coming into Tampa, and we think Tampa's going to become some sort of melting pot.
Mm-mm. It's not.
No, it's going to become a reflection of the same deep divisions we have in our nation. And these young people under 30, are parroting the same sick talking points.
Forget under 30. Have you met, like, children these days?
I have.
Oh, my God. Everything they hear at home, they're like sponges. They're regurgitating it, and it may not even make sense, but
it's
they've heard
bad.
It.
So, yeah, these folks are never, I mean, the ideas that these folks are carrying, these toxic ideas, mm-hmm. they're never going to die out because they're indoctrinating the next generation and the one after that.
You know, and they say, and it's like, and I just want to stay right here. Youth is not a panacea for foolishness.
No.
Right? We grow up to be foolish because we were steeped in it as youth.
Yep.
And so these kids are getting QAnon, anti-vaxxing. They're parroting all of these same inane notions that you're hearing out of adults.
Yeah. Hmm. It's frightening. It really is.
It's just younger humans.
Right. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 813-239-9663, or email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can also text to 813-433-0885. I feel like I'm back at the doctor's, at the eye doctor's office.
It is 433-0885. So, and if you have not yet given to our Surly Femmes to keep us on the air, you still have the opportunity to go to either the tip jar. We'd like it better, though, if you would select us from the pull down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody you love the Surly Femmes. We love the Surly Femmes. We love WMNF. And donate whatever you are able to.
Yeah. What's our goal for the show?
We have no goal. We have the world as our goal. Yeah. Donate as much as you can or as much as you can afford. Yeah.
Yes.
No limits. I'd like to blow the doors off this place.
Do you mean that? Wait a minute now.
Wait.
You can't say that in the airport.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, we're not in the airport right now. Come on.
You can't say that in the airport. I'm not going to let you say it in
here. No. Oh, I have gotten chastised by TSA before.
Really?
Because if I'm standing in one place too long, I start fidgeting because I can't stand to be still that long.
You're bouncing up and down.
I'm bouncing up and down right now, yeah. And so it's like I start, you know, doing my calf raises, lunges.
Yoga.
TSA doesn't like that. Ma'am, what's your problem? Why are you? And I'm like, because I'm tired of standing in one place.
You know what? And then you should tell them I have a disability and I'm going to sue you if you ask me that question again. And watch that shut down because they're feds and they know better. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like I really get anxious in crowded places. Yeah. And you know how the TSA lines are. They're ridiculous. I'm going to have to get me a global entry so I don't have to stand in those long lines anymore.
Or you could try this one. You know what? Stop it before you're making my service dog nervous. Ma'am, what service dog? Leave me alone. Right. Okay.
Come on, Fido.
And watch what happens next. They leave you alone. World's mixed up.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Leave people alone.
So, yeah, it's really, really just, it's like if you watch it unfolding before your eyes, it's just breathtaking and it's scariness.
Well, I told Ken the other day, I was listening to the news and they were talking about Ukraine, because I would never see news like on a screen if it weren't for the fact that my husband is 10 years older than me. So he watches TV. Like, I'm like, TV, how do you even get this thing with the remote control? How do you even get it to put on CNN? I'm like, how? I don't know how to operate the TV, right?
So, not to get CNN anyway. If you're watching,
like, I don't know how to operate.
It's okay.
It.
These days they have that speech function, so you can talk to your remote.
No, I'm not. No, don't get speech function. You know what that? You know, that's one more way the government can listen to your conversation.
You know, I don't even try to hide from the eye in the sky anymore. Y'all remember that song? I don't even try to hide anymore. You're carrying a tracker in your hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's pointless. You know, all of your pictures, including pictures of your butt for some of us under a certain age, are on Facebook, right? Everything you've done, eaten in the last 6 years of any significance, you've posted it. So what's not hiding?
I have seen enough true crime shows to know how to be under the radar if I want to be.
Yeah.
I choose to have the phone, and I realize that there's a certain amount of tracking that comes along with that.
I'm saying that for actual murder, because it sounds like a lot of work. Given the level of surveillance we are now forced to endure as modern people.
Do not buy your killing supplies at Home Depot. Right.
You got a receipt for a shovel, some tape. Yeah.
Literally, sack. Go off the grid, leave everything at home, and then there's a camera on every street corner, house now. Yeah. All the Ring doorbells, they're trying to find you.
Right.
Oh, and what is that site where all of the middle class Caucasians get on there and talk about every brown person they see?
Neighbor.
Is he really the FedEx
neighborhood
guy?
Neighborhood something. Neighbors.
Oh, next door.
Next door. Yes. Next door. That is the most racist site I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Because I had signed up when it first came along. Because, like, okay, you know, there's new things popping up all the time. And it's like everything.
Yeah.
And there is
suspicious
a number
person.
Ring
no,
footage?
There's not.
Yeah, the Ring wanted to take
footage?
Mail that came to our house in error, you know, a few houses down. And I said, let me put on something pink and take it. I don't think you should take your 6'2½ self down there. Walk up, random black guy walks up to some house not owned by him. No, I'll take it down there.
Yeah.
Put on a pink ice cream dress and go over there.
Right, right.
Holding the package out like,
they brought it to my house by mistake. Yeah.
Don't shoot. 10th anniversary of Trayvon Martin's.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. 10th anniversary.
That doesn't seem that long ago.
I know, right? It just means that I'm a decade older. I don't know what to do with that.
Well,
I remember vividly when that was going down, and it just does not feel like 10 years.
Yeah. I just want to give the people something, because I was talking to ABC Action News yesterday. That's coming out tomorrow. If you're looking for that, probably, you know, it'll probably be different versions of it all day of the people that they interviewed for this. But I want to remind people, and I had to tell the guy who was interviewing me this, Trayvon Martin was definitely a catalyst for the creation of a hashtag, right?
Mm-hmm.
That conversation took place on Twitter. You know, our lives matter too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trayvon Martin's life matter. The response, Trayvon Martin's, our lives matter too. Someone says Black Lives Matter. So there was a progression of texts, of tweets, okay? That's a different thing from what happened in Ferguson.
Yeah.
In August of 2014. I was in Ferguson working on a project, completely separate. When I left Ferguson, the DC said, Donna, go to Tampa. All right, all I know is it's fun. I'm coming out of New York and Missouri, right? I came in the polar vortex. I'm happy. I'm going to Tampa. I'm going to Disney World. And so I left. Under any other circumstance, I would have stayed and went down there to check out the sceneries because I'm nosy, you know? But that really was the beginning. Like Trayvon Martin, I think that energy from Trayvon Martin, it built up, but it was the killing of Michael Ferguson, August 5th, I believe, 2014, that was the real catalyst for the movement writ large. The movement is never an organization. It wasn't SNCC. It wasn't the NAACP. It wasn't any one organization. There's an energy, a groundswell, right? And a lot of the times it imbues organizations mm-hmm. with more clarity in their missions.
Right.
But it of itself is not the movement. And I would that as you see all of these news stories coming out around this to remember that Black Lives Matter was like a moment in time, right? And there's still a lot of artifact from that. But it was not three people who created a hashtag.
Right.
That a year later, it would have happened with or without the hashtag. We would have called it something because the internets always yield up some, you know, mm-hmm. bounty, you know, as far as naming things, especially the millennials on the helm of that have been really good about naming and framing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so it would have been called something. But please don't conflate a story about a hashtag with a movement, because there are a lot of people out there who gave their lives. They killed a lot of people in Ferguson after that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people showed up in cars with, you know, burned and with a single gunshot wound to the head. That happened like three different times. So don't conflate a hashtag and a couple hundred million dollars being collected with the movement. We would have had the movement by any other name.
So when is this interview of yours playing?
Well, it's probably like multiple people. Tomorrow. It's coming out tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking for that.
I'm not going to be looking for it.
I'm going to be looking for
somebody
it,
somebody look for it. I don't have cable either.
Well, I don't have cable, but I can catch.
You can get it on the website.
Yeah, like, you can get if you put an antenna on your TV, you can get an antenna that's like flat, like a sheet of paper.
Really?
Yeah, and put it on your TV, and you can catch all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when that happened, I think Florida was maybe the first or second state with Stand Your Ground laws.
Yeah.
Now we have over 30 states with them.
Those are such racist laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything, it's not like anything that's rooted in like feudal law really needs to be evaluated.
Right.
For application, because feudalism was about people making sure that an entire cadre of people had no rights whatsoever. So it's castle doctrine. So the serfs didn't have any castles. So that should tell you who this is for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we've got a text message from Winterhaven. Why censor books and schools when children have access to cable and the internet on a cell phone? I think this is a sneaky distraction designed to divert attention from something.
It is.
I just don't know what they are hiding. Yes, I agree with that. Mm. Although you have to think, that, I mean, if these folks are so intent on banning books mm-hmm. in schools, and there are a lot of kids out there who don't have access to the internet or cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have parental controls, number one. Number two, some children can't afford, or some families can't afford
right.
cell phones and internet.
Right.
And so we think, you know, from our own viewpoints, it's like, yeah, if I had kids of school age, they would have access to all kinds of information.
Right.
But a lot of kids don't.
And it's clear what's happened in this world over the last 7 or 8 years. That is not what people are using the internet for.
Right.
It's to enrich themselves.
Right.
About where we've come from as a global, as a planetary community. That's not what they're using it for.
No, they're using it.
The number one reason that people use the internet is porn.
Oh, is it?
Period.
Where do you get them figures from?
It's just always been a thing. You can Google it. Oh, where I get them from? Hey, I see you watching me. See you watching me. And I'm watching y'all too out there in the listening audience.
I feel like...
Know what you're doing.
I don't know the statistics, but that doesn't sound wrong.
I don't doubt it.
So just think about, even if you're, let's say you're somewhere in another part of the world, because I can see I'm getting added for like naming a country. But let's say you're in a certain part of the world and literacy is not really a thing. People are still on the internet looking at porn.
Yep.
Because you don't have to be able to read.
Right.
You know what's interesting? The website, the one most popular one, I think, it's a porn platform. They release like their statistics at the end of the year, and it's like every state, what they're googling, like the
love
topics
to see that.
Love across to the world, like what every country's looking at.
Oh, I have seen that.
And then they break it down. I think it's like the most interesting set of data I've ever seen, because you know it's such an intimate look into what people are doing.
They do that
in masses.
They do that at Thanksgiving for recipes. And people in the Midwest are like Googling Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, y'all ain't got no taste buds.
Yeah, really.
It's your Scandinavian roots, just eating lox, just eating dried fish.
So we're talking about a number of things today. We're talking about the horrible legislation that Florida continues to pass on the daily basis, including the Don't Say Gay bill, the horribly unconstitutional abortion law. We're talking about Trump and his buddy Putin starting World War III in order to make money. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. Email us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. And it's just so much bad things happening. We need to hear about good things.
There was a scene I was watching. I watch BBC because I find that I can tolerate American cinema less and less.
Oh yeah.
Last night I've been watching BBC for like 3 months.
Love BBC.
And let me tell you, and I even subscribe to an additional BBC channel, like the Masterpieces channel on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can like add that to your lineup on Amazon Prime. Well, anyway. I've been watching these stories like, you know, Moonstone and Gloucester. And it's just like the story of life, you know, with these themes. And it's always interesting because it takes you a little bit into the human spirit, right? And then last night I was like, you know, I never saw Dark Knight. So I put on, I tried it last weekend with Transformers. And so Transformers, it was like, bam, bam, bang. And I was just like, I cannot do this. And so I tried it again last night because I didn't learn my lesson last week.
Right.
And I put on Dark Knight.
Oh.
And it was the same thing. And I was just like, this is, and the music, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, this is like the American psyche.
Yeah.
Like, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right.
Like, this is why Florida's off the chain with its legislation. If we don't like something, let's pretend it doesn't exist. Let's erase it. Let's legislate it out of existence, right? And then people, meanwhile, you go out into the world and people are just being gay and happy. You know, I don't mean gay as in happy. I mean gay as in
gay.
This is my sexual orientation,
right.
You know, you guys. And people are just being gay, and gay is a regular part of life. And in the Florida legislature, it's not. And I think that it's because of these movies.
Not the movies, Donna.
It's these ridiculous.
I don't think the movies themselves caused it.
She's like, these damn kids.
Wasn't that fun, though, how I got there?
You took the long way home on that one.
I took the scenic route.
I think we should all speak in a British accent on one show, because I just love the BBC.
Isn't it great, though? And then they're just so, like, the stiff upper lip, like that whole mentality of just, like, not losing your marbles. No wonder they came up with, in the war, keep calm.
Right.
Right? Like, that's, like, the British ethos, is to just don't lose your mud, right? Like, just chill out. And in America, in the United States... Because there are other places called America, guys. That's why I changed it. In the United States, people are just like SpongeBob and Patrick. You know, the whole thing is like, you know, it's like Peppa Pig craziness.
I wonder
what does Kanye have against Peppa Pig?
I wanted to go there. That was my segue. See how I did that?
She knew I was going to go right there to it. It's like, I have to know.
It's a metaphor.
All right, Peppa Pig is a British cartoon, and it's pig family. And it's geared toward like younger children, like 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. And it's the least offensive thing I've seen in a long time. Yeah. And it's not very clever or anything. But
Peppa Pig is kind of gangster, though.
Yeah.
Like Arthur and Barbara on the low. Like Brits be like low key coming for it with their kiddie shows.
Yeah. But yeah, I like Granddad Dog myself. But I saw Kanye had beef with Peppa Pig, and I'm like, what could you possibly have against Peppa Pig?
Maybe he wanted to open an amusement park where they're opening on that location, where they're opening the Peppa Pig park, which I don't actually understand.
I don't understand that either. But anyway, let me read some emails here. Elijah says they're not trying to hide anything. They're just trying to drum up more outrage when they run out of subjects to complain about.
I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. And then, like, we're going down this path where we have fed Putin and he's gotten fat, right? And it's almost like we gave him his 15 minutes of fame under the Trump administration. And now the Empire State Building is lit up in Ukraine colors. And they're like, Ukraine has rights.
Yeah, it's like, where were y'all 4 years ago?
I'm
sorry.
Like, no, they don't. I live in Florida. They don't. If you say they don't, they don't. Fix it, Jesus. Stop this, right? And this beautiful people in this beautiful country, not bothering anyone, you know, just in their cities, in their homes, you know, taking their kids to like ballet lessons, you know, learning a second language, just being normal humans on the planet. And then this guy's like, this is mine too. This is, it used to be ours. We're taking it.
Yeah, we're taking it back. Yeah. Charlie sent us a meme, and it is Rod Serling, and for Amina, I know that that's probably way out of your frame of reference, but it's the Twilight, the original Twilight Zone.
I am a fan of the Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay,
I know
good.
Who he is.
Good.
It came in a revival. It came back.
I prefer the Forrest. Is it Forrest Whitaker that did the early 2000 revival?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but yeah, Rod Serling, I mean, he always had a cigarette in his hand. Anyway.
They do it for every generation, Liz. There was Boomer one. There's a Gen X version of it that used to come on HBO, and now they're doing it for the next generation.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's Rod Serling, and he's got a cigarette, of course, and he's like, imagine, if you will, a country so ashamed of its history that it punishes people for teaching that history. Thank you, Charlie. Absolutely spot on, though. It's like, I found a meme the other day that I put on my page, and it was like, critical race theory is actual American history, you know,
that's still like saying critical race theory. It's still reaffirming the words they're using, and that's just not a thing. In critical race theory is not in itself is not in in K through 12, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But history is.
Yeah. And and you're teaching a whitewashed version still.
What they're trying to say is like, you can teach history, but you can't make anybody uncomfortable by it. Like, you can't teach discomfort, and it's such a slippery slope there that
nobody's trying to make people uncomfortable,
right?
They're trying to tell you what happened.
Here's the thing, there's a number of white parents, white people get uncomfortable by what's being taught, and this was, you know, the catalyst for the bill. But every time other representatives have on the floor brought up, hey, like, we have to teach history, like, you can't ban them, they're like, that is not anywhere in the bill. They'll say that. They're like, what's in the bill is you can't teach discomfort. So.
Shame on you white people for.
Right.
Yeah.
So if a teacher was to say that, then
nobody
that is,
says that, though.
Right. Nobody says that. So.
But what bothers me about this is that I learned about Trail of Tears, Wounded Knee, the Holocaust. I learned about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't seem to have a problem telling the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth about these mega crimes, right? And that was against not just those individuals and their families that survived, but against the whole planet.
Well, yeah. Right? Well, they don't tell a whole lot of truth. Some look at Custer.
But that's recent. Okay, now, but we're that's where I'm going. So stay with me, and I'm going to bless you, okay? We had this raw, you know, we were little kids, like 9, we were learning about Anne Frank and that, you know, staying in that cupboard, right?
Yeah.
And we were horrified by it, and rightfully so. We got a good shaken. Like, this is what the human psyche is capable of. The human mind is capable of going to this dark of a place. So I was a little kid learning about that.
Right.
Like, no one shielded me from that. Nobody shielded me from reading A Wounded Knee as a ninth grader. That's a big book, right?
Yeah.
Nobody shielded me from learning about Oregon Trail, Trail of Tears, mm-hmm. right? Nobody shielded me from that. We got really raw depictions of all kinds of massacres that happened to our First Nations people. And nobody ever legislated that out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to really think about what it means that when we start talking about the crime of chattel slavery and the transatlantic slave trade, that all of a sudden we've got legislation to stop that from being taught.
Right.
You really think about that, because you're talking about some of the most marginalized groups, not in this country, but in the world. But the United States does not want people to hear about or to understand how this is literally the foundation of this country.
Right.
No problem hearing about how they stole the land. No problem hearing about how Hitler went crazy and killed a generation of people. Nope, no problem with that at all. But we've got a problem hearing about slavery and mm-hmm. hearing about black oppression.
They
think about what that means.
They can talk about states' rights, but every state stated that it was because they wanted to keep slavery in the South.
They said it.
It's like, just if you want to know the truth, it's there. Like,
Lincoln said that if there was a way he could keep slavery and maintain the integrity of this of the United States, he would have done it. He wasn't against slavery morally.
Wow.
That's the truth.
Wow. Yeah.
Also,
look at Chicago, land of Lincoln.
Hmm.
Look at Gangland, USA.
I wanted to say that when you mentioned when you're talking about the mega crimes and the grave crimes, a number of people use the word genocide, for example, to mention other. It's been bothering me a lot lately because a lot of things are going on where people will throw the word genocide around very lightly.
It's happening.
They do.
It's happening again, and it happened even during the abortion debate in Florida. One of the representatives said something about genocide of babies, and I was like, need to. I tweeted at him and I was like, you can't do this. Like, it's extremely disrespectful to everybody who's survived a genocide or been through one mm-hmm. or been touched
right.
by one because, you know, and I was saying, like, I'm Bosnian. I came from a genocide. This mm-hmm. is, you know, you cannot compare this. And he like wrote back, well, what are you going to say to the, tell that to the, I don't know how many million babies or something like that. Like it's just the verbiage that's being used and the disrespect that's shown to anybody who challenges this.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Even if it's a valid challenge and it has nothing to do with the actual topic at hand, because genocide is reserved for, like, the gravest crime of
right.
humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Holocaust.
Wiping out a race of
yes.
people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not...
There are steps to get there. There's ethnic cleansing, mm-hmm. which happens on a grand scale, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not genocide. It can very easily lead to it, but it's been something that's really bothered me lately, especially with everything that's going on. That word is constantly used.
Can we talk about, to her point, I want to point something out, maybe you can say more about this. To your point, this, what we've seen since the beginning of the Trump era, and I think in some regard, I would say over the last 20 years, there's sort of a bloodless ethnic cleansing mm-hmm. going on in the United States, right? Like, there is a censoring of the intelligentsia, right? And then there's a censoring of anything that changes the marketing perspective of certain groups of people, women, mm-hmm. people of color, indigenous peoples, land rights. Right? There's like a war against it. So when people speak out about it, like this woman who wrote the 1619 Project,
yeah.
To not give her tenure at a school that, once you become this wildly popular published author, that's your ticket to tenure. That's what all professors are striving for, right?
Yeah, like, that was insane. There was no reason she shouldn't have gotten tenure.
Right.
No reason.
All right, let's see. Got some emails here. Let's see. It says the Florida legislature is still telling children that their LGBTQ parents are bad and wrong. Let's flip that script. Yeah, they're about to pass that law, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That's from Michelle in Tampa. And then we've got... This writing is too small. Amina, do you have your glasses?
It's small here too, but it says it's a text message, so let me go there. It says, we weren't there 4 years ago. We've watched this build up for a month. Here we are.
Yep.
From Clearwater.
And then, let's see.
So to that point, while you comb through that.
Go ahead.
To that point, people keep trying to entice me into coming to Tallahassee.
Lord have mercy, of all places to go. Tallahassee is like the wasteland.
I've been there. It is T.S. Eliot's wasteland.
Yes.
Right? We are the hollow men, the headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dead voices are as wind in the grass or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Falls to floor. Not doing it. I got a life to live.
Yeah, really. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org or you can text to 813-433-0885. We are talking, we've gotten now onto the subject about how history gets whitewashed in schools since now the Florida legislature is now whitewashing, you know, gay folks out of existence, black folks out of existence. Who will they teach about and what will they say? But back to your point, ma'am, about the how they avoid talking about slavery and actual oppression of black people in this country. I have a theory about that. Why?
I want to hear it. Yeah. Come on, come with it.
Why they don't want to teach about the true history of how black people have been treated
because
in America.
Because not only have we taught raw truths, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling y'all how old I am, but we learned it in school, okay? And I'm from Florida. I was born and raised Duval County, Highlands Elementary School, number 99, right? I can tell you that they taught that stuff to us and all of these groups, Japanese, all reparations, mm-hmm. all have received reparations of some sort. This should prove to people who say, come on, it's not that bad. And it's just like being a woman in a room full of men. It is not.
No.
Because we're contending with Indigenous people taking black people off the rolls because of casino money. You know, we're dealing with serious violations of landlords in the Bronx. You know, most there are lines there, mm-hmm. and they're groups of people that you can identify as being the perps and the culp and the victims, and we are still the victims of all the other marginalized groups, and that is the difference. If you're listening out there in the world, this is the difference between being black and being a part of another marginalized group. That's why I keep saying I'm not BIPOC. Don't call me BIPOC. I am not BIPOC. You can't
tell people what BIPOC is because they don't know.
Black and indigenous people of color. Don't put me in groups that are marginalized but have also marginalized me.
Me. Yeah.
Right? I don't want to be in a group when you say all women, I don't want to be in that group because white women marginalized me. I don't want to be in a group with Jewish people because Jewish people are white and they marginalize me. I need that to stand alone the way it stands alone in all of these other issues that we've discussed.
Okay, so here's my theory about why the powers that be don't want the children of the United States to learn about the true history of slavery and the slave trade and all that. Okay. Because, all right, their talking point is, well, you know, you're equal today, and so you have the same rights I do, blah, blah, blah. It's soothing, self-soothing to keep that narrative running that, that was in the olden times, and now things have changed with affirmative action, blah, blah, blah. Because white people hate affirmative action. I don't know why, but they do.
Oh, that's next.
Oh, yeah. That's going out the window.
Yeah. That was so 2006.
Right.
Like, we had Ward Connerly in 2006. We beat him in Colorado, but I'm interrupting. Go on.
Yeah. So they hate the idea of making things equitable because they see it as taking something away from them.
Yes.
And so, therefore, if you keep not teaching the real history of the United States, then people who are taught the white version of history in school grow up to be adults who say, what are you complaining about? That was 200 years ago. Get over it.
You know, we had such a hard time when we went up to Plant City and we were talking to immigrant communities who needed help because they couldn't access the resources, the COVID resources, right? For the obvious reason, they weren't citizens, so they couldn't get the food stamps and they couldn't get the, you know, unemployment. And so, and everything just locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Black Lives Matter, we went up there and we were at that moment led by two women who were Afro-Latina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were trying to speak to them in Spanish and say, these people are here to help. Like, we're here to help. Like, we Black people, Latin people too, and these Black people that are with us are here to help. And they were like, well, we don't believe in Black Lives Matter and blah, blah, blah. And they couldn't even say it in English.
Wow.
I need you to understand that it's different to be Black than any other group. And so, and they actually became irate and started saying negative things. There's like a whole media appeal of negativity around Black liberation and Black people that's being marketed specifically to immigrant communities so that we never get any movement from groups that are coming, come here and say, why y'all doing Black people like that? Like,
right.
That's like at home. They do that in Colombia. They do that in Venezuela. No, they come here and they say, yeah, there's a reason for why Black people are oppressed. And so it allows immigrant groups to continue to uphold the colonizer's idea of what it means to be Black. It's like some Mad Men stuff, right?
Wow, yeah.
So like when I say it, I'm not saying it because I have a lot of privileges as a Black person in America. I have more privileges than most people. I earn more than most white men with a college degree. So I am not singing a sad song over here. I know that I have a lot of privilege. I travel the world. I travel this country. You know, I get a lot of stuff, right? A lot of things come my way. But there are a lot of people who don't and a lot
right.
of people who can't. And it's because of all of the things that I've explained already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and I said white people hate affirmative action. It's
yeah.
mostly white men
yeah.
who hate affirmative. Because white women do benefit. In fact, they benefit more from affirmative action than any other marginalized
yes, but I
community.
Got this one thing for you, and then we can move on to something more exciting. When I was working on No on 46, where Ward Connolly, a Black man, was leading a campaign to end state-sponsored, as it was called, those are air quotes, guys, affirmative action in the state of Colorado that would end discrimination in matters of hiring, college admissions, et cetera, et cetera. That's what the first line of the thing, of the petition said. Stood in front of a Black grocery store, mostly frequented by Black people, collected 100,000 signatures. It's a big lift to get an amendment onto the ballot in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And got it onto the ballot with Black signatures to end affirmative action in 1968. When they passed it in California, because he piloted it in California, he won in Ohio. When he got to us, I was like, not on my shift. So I was working for the Colorado Black Women for Political Action as political director. So what we did was we waged this campaign against him. But this woman from Working Women 9 to 5, a white woman, she came to me and she said, I said, I want to do an editorial board meeting. She says, Donna, we can't do it because talking about affirmative action for Black people has no appeal to the people that we're targeting. We have to talk about women and girls. We cannot talk about affirmative action rooted in race. She was talking about white women and girls
yep.
appealing to white people, affirming white women and girls, not affirming Black people. You see what I'm saying? Like every time mm-hmm. I've tried to do this work, I always run afoul of people who say, but we can't do the Black thing. We can do the woman thing. We can do the girl thing. We can do the immigrant thing. We can do those things, but we can't go full bore with the Black thing. Over and over and over again in Seattle and in Colorado and in New York State and in all these places that I've worked in, they always say, like the other day we were looking at some cards for a project that I'm working on. And there was a little Black girl saying, do you know what blah, blah, blah does to this little Black girl? And someone says, can we change the ethnicity? Can we have varied ethnicity on these cards? Every time. You guys, we hate Black people in this country. We hate women, but we hate Black people more.
Yep. All right, so Doug in Clearwater is on fire today.
Come on.
And he sends us another text, and it says, capitalism holds Black people down, racism is the fire.
Yeah,
capitalism.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I don't disagree with that.
Fuels the fire.
But you know what? Only white men say that to me. Only white men say, well, Donna, do you think that the culture wars are rooted in capitalism or racism? Every single time, right? And I ain't gonna do nothing.
You mean they separate them?
They want to tell me. The message for me is, Donna, it's not really racism. Oh. It's capitalism. And I'm like, well, that's good to know, because this country was built on slavery, which is rooted in capitalism. And you guys are still upholding racism because you know that you came from Europe as vassals and serfs. And you know that we're stopping you from being vassals and serfs here. And as more people fall into that category, more and more people are becoming more deeply racist because we're the black people that stopped us from being the doorliner of society. We busy.
Yeah. Well, here Sandy just coincidentally sent this email, and it says, I know this is long. Perhaps you already addressed it. I missed the beginning of the show, but this scares the, and she has the expletive, you know,
yes,
symbols out of me, Sandy, and it's the big headline is Supreme Court loads docket with culture war showdowns. It's like she was reading your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let us talk to Polly in St. Petersburg.
Oh.
Hello. Hi, Polly.
Hey, listen, first of all, I'm still waiting for you ladies to run. I don't know what the holdup is. But listen, you know what the problem is? White people are so afraid of becoming a minority, they don't know what to do.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He might have been 17, 18 years older than me. I'm 63, I think. That's still funny to me.
We're right there with you, Polly, yeah.
But you know what, man? This guy says to me, well, you know, Obama let all these people in, and now we got Biden. He's going to let all these people in. I said, well, what are you worried? You know, they're just people, you know. Your people came from. He said, well, I'm worried about our culture.
What culture?
Mayonnaise.
I looked at the guy and I said, God damn, man. You know what, man? Now you know how the Indians felt. The guy just gave me a dirty look and walked away. I mean, what the hell? Just let everybody do their own damn thing. Don't hurt nobody, don't bother nobody, and just, we can all get along. That's no big
deal. You know what, Polly? That's totally true.
Yeah.
And the reason he walked away is because that's the education they want. Like, no critical thinking.
Right.
Like, surface
right.
level.
Right.
Like,
you know how you can stop them, too? Is whatever the...
I'm getting older, I get mad at these ignorant... I'm sorry.
Polly's about to violate our
FCR. Yeah, don't be saying the seven words, Polly.
And as for teaching in school, you know what? Teach the damn truth.
Right. Exactly.
That's
thank
all
you.
There is to, why, like, white people didn't destroy the Indians? We're not messing with the black people, the Hispanics and everything. White, but you know what? I'm not ashamed to be white because I'm white. You can tell I'm white, right? White people are just so afraid. I mean, just let it be, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Paul. You hit all the points very succinctly.
All of my dreams.
I want to drive you. I'll be with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Polly.
Have a good day,
ladies. You too.
Thank you. We
bye
appreciate
bye.
You.
So, everything he just said, I want to go back to like my point about critical thinking, and that's it. Like, that's what they don't want you to do.
Right.
And it's like, yes, here's this history, mm-hmm. but what is education without that other step?
Right.
No, it's, I have found that because I, unsurprisingly, I get into fights with people online.
Shocker.
So.
Shocker. Fist fights in the Publix with Liz Lanier.
I won't get into fist, well, I can't say
yeah,
I never will
because
never say never. But yeah, some of the things that these people say, and it's just the most ridiculous thing you ever saw. Mm-hmm. And so I just put the laugh emoji on them. And they're like, why are you laughing? And I'm like, because what you just said is ridiculous and not based in logic or fact at all. And they just crumble.
You know what? A lot of people, like when they're offline and you talk to them about anything, they realize they're just also regurgitating something.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that they got it from somewhere and it did not go beyond that.
Exactly.
And I've been pulling my friends on the left, pulling their coattails, because there's a lot of repetition and, you know.
There is.
And then the other day when I was trying to talk about the whole Dave Chappelle thing, right, I was told that because I'm not a black trans woman, I should not be able to speak. And I was like, yeah, you would have got me 5 years ago, I would have sat down and I would have been like, lanes are a thing. Like, don't speak out on issues that if don't directly impact you. But you're going to tell me the Holocaust impacts me. When you kill 6 million people, I got a problem. I'm not going to be quiet. Right? If trans women have a life expectancy of 35, I'm not going to be quiet. You're not going to tell me that I can't speak on that. And all I was trying to say is that you guys, there's something else here. Dave Chappelle is being held up by the right as a pawn, that they're winning the culture war.
Right.
And there's something that we need to get here, because they are winning, because he's not getting canceled. And he's being intentionally, deliberately incendiary, right, and inflammatory. And it's he's a beacon of light. Like, how is this happening, right? And so it's happening because we can't find our voices.
Yeah.
Mm, right. I think it's more than the right. There are a lot of people that have taken up an issue with, like, cancel culture, for example.
Yeah, right.
And you'd be surprised that the overlap there in amongst people who are, like, on the left, on the right, people are more nuanced than we talk about, the way we talk about them.
It's not a bright red line, no. Let's talk to Gino in Tampa. Hi, Gino.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right.
I can't hear Gina.
What? Can you hear me?
Hold on, wait, I'll turn him up. All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. I think the reason that they don't want true history taught, actually, white people, is, believe it or not, I think it's more to do with shame than anything. Shame is very much bigger than what you think it is. For instance, when if you go back biblically, when God banished Cain for killing Abel, he
fled in shame. He hid in shame. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I would disagree. I think shame makes you change. Like, there's a step there.
Shame makes you change. Shame makes you. And so, if your kid comes to you and say, "Oh, so you mean to tell me that all the presidents had, well, up to a certain point, had slaves except the first? I mean, except the second and the fourth one, which was father and son, because they didn't believe in it, but It makes you look at things totally different and say, well, you think my grandfather did that? My grandfather was this type of person or something like that? Shame is very big, and I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's not bound in that culture. It's not bound like that in the culture of whiteness. And what I've learned about shame in psychology, like, I'm not a psychologist, so don't at me, is that shame is the emotion that creates serial killers, right? When kids experience extreme shame in childhood, that shame really contorts the human psyche. It's pretty useless. It doesn't force people to change. That's like embarrassment. But true shame, like with the way that you define shame from a psychological perspective, destroys people.
Yeah.
And it turns them into monsters.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're welcome. I just thought that's what happened to when Cain killed Abel. He actually became, my understanding, he became a monster.
Yeah, we should have hired Cajuns. They would have ate the snake and saved us a lot of trouble.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cajuns would have ate the snake in history.
A lot of things would have been different if you'd gotten Cajuns to do it, I promise you.
One time for Mardi Gras in New Orleans, right?
There was there's a show on Netflix. It's a cartoon. It's bitingly satirical. It's called Big Mouth, and there's a shame monster on there. and a lot of that was the shame monster was playing in my head as Gino was talking about it. All right, so let's talk to Jeanette in Gulfport.
Hello.
Hi, Jeanette. We got very little time, so
I just wanted to say that I really don't appreciate the racist remark about Jews, because I'm Jewish, I've been liberal all my life, and I don't know that many Jews, and if you want to name me a few, I'd love to know who has discriminated just because they're white against...
We're talking about white people, not Jewish people specifically.
Well, you said white Jewish people.
I did say white Jews.
Yeah. Jewish white people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still a thing. That's my lived experience. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you.
We're running out of time, is the only reason that I cut her off, because NPR is about to come on. But we're definitely going to unpack that on let's put out a blurb on the Surly Feminists for the Revolution, the public page, because I can see why she might have gotten the wrong impression
because
about that.
Because she doesn't understand race and ethnicity are not
yes.
the same.
Yes. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to Surly Voices on WMNF.org. Please join us, WMNF 88.